And so I think he probably asked God more than once, but I know there's at least once that he did. And I know that he got there eventually. And that's the greatest blessing of all. So again, I don't want to be confusing when I say things. If I haven't researched them properly, I want to follow up about those things. So let's read Psalm 97 together. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Let's have a further word of prayer here. God, we thank you so much that we have come to a time where we have feasted on you in worship. And we've feasted on the body and the blood of your Son in communion. And we can feast on your word. We have the opportunity, God, to take in your word, to not have our hearts hardened to what you would have to say to us this morning. God, I pray that we will open up to you in every way. God, if there is hardness in just not wanting to change, I pray that that would break. If there is hardness in discouragement of not being able to change, I pray that your word would meet that and break it, that hope would be seen from the things that you say to us. God, we need to do your will. You don't need us to do your will. We need to do your will. Help us, God. May the words that I share, the things that I do, not get in the way of your will for your word in each heart that hears this message today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. How do you feel about the Lord reigning? Relieved. Excellent. Relieved. Is it something that's exciting for you, or does it make you afraid? No, Deb says no. Why would it make me afraid? Well, sometimes because I don't want him to rule in me, right? I'm all for him ruling over you. I'm all for him taking care of that mess, right? But how excited am I about him ruling over me? And each time he says something, saying, "You're God in heaven, reign over me." It's a little bit of both, I think, for all of us. The prescribed outcome from God about the Lord reigning is rejoicing. The prescribed outcome is rejoicing, and I'd encourage you to examine your life and ask, am I rejoicing more in this, or does it make me anxious that the Lord would reign here and in my actions? What am I going for here? The whole earth is called to rejoicing. It says the multitude of isles to be glad. and we'll see this again, you know, this call to rejoicing again in verse 11. You know, there's an estimated 600,000 islands in the world today. 600,000 islands, all called to gladness. Interesting thing about islands, right? They're constantly being made as well. The way God formed his creation, we've got these fissures in the earth and they sprout up new islands. Each new one that comes up, let them be glad at the Lord reigning. Each new one of us that comes up, let us be glad that the Lord reigns and let us welcome his reigning in our lives. Fun fact, I bet no one would guess the country with the most islands. Who? Canada. As suspected, no one has guessed. I mean, we don't give this a lot of time. Norway. Norway has just under 2 of the 600,000 islands. That's close to Denmark. There should be a lot of rejoicing going on there. The islands are all doing it. The islands are all doing it. Let us do it. Let us be ones that join all of creation in rejoicing at the reigning of God. Verses 2 through 5, we got this picture of the presence of God. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice, the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. Lightnings lighting the world, the earth seeing and trembling. All these things about God, this picture of his presence. The end, 36:27 through the end of chapter 37, Elihu, the only one that speaks right of God, Job's three friends not speaking right of God, Elihu comes on the scene and he's kept his silence the whole time. And then he comes and he says these things that are true about God. And that whole time, he describes God as coming in the storm to speak to Job. Chapter 38 begins, "Then God answered Job out of the whirlwind." And in fact, he says to Job, Elihu, or God says to Job in verses 34 and 35 of chapter 38, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are?" Psalm 18, 7 through 15, David describes God coming to rescue him, the presence of God as a storm. Psalm 77, 16 through 19, Asaph paints a similar picture of God. Ezekiel 1, in his vision of God, says, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber." In Jeremiah 10, he distinguishes God from idols in his power over the storm. And Jeremiah uses the exact same words in chapter 51, describing the destruction of Babylon. God comes to save in the storm, and he comes to judge in the storm. His character, the same. His power, the same. His faithfulness, the same. We've got clouds and darkness, fire burning up enemies, lightnings lighting the world, everything. When I saw that, I thought, everything is brought into the light. His lightnings light up the world. Everything is brought into the light. Everything that we would think, I don't want anybody to ever know about this, and I'm not looking at you on purpose, Lisa. I don't want anyone to ever know this attitude of my heart or this thought or this thing that I'm holding on to. God is lighting it up in his presence. And he wants you to bring these things to the light, to find people that you trust, find people that love him that can help you with these things. The earth is trembling, the mountains melting like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. We've got a song about it, right? The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. The song that Rick and I sang while communion was being passed out is also in this psalm. Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth, exalted far above all gods. In the midst of all that, in the midst of this incredible storm that God arrives in, we have righteousness and justice as the foundation of his throne. Verse 2 talks about righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So God's coming in this whirlwind, in this fire that's engulfing itself in lightning and thunder and hail. But at the center of it, really, when you read Ezekiel's picture, God is above it all. It's announcing his presence, and he's above that. His throne is above that. He's above his throne. Righteousness and justice as that foundation that's happening in the midst of utter craziness in the storm, right? Think about the worst storm you've ever been in. I mean, like physical storm. I'm not talking about emotional storm right now. We'll talk about emotional storms as well. Storm that you've seen, that you've been around. The worst one I've ever been in, frankly, was like a month ago. There were some storms coming, and me, you know, being the bright person, thought, I'll go down to my office in Albany, and I look at the radar, and it's like kind of curved this way, and Albany's over here, and I'm like, I can beat it. I can beat the storm. So I hop in, it's 35 minutes to my office. Soon as I hit the exit on to get onto the Northway on exit 15, this thing starts coming down. Like I can barely see. It's raining so hard. That stops, and I just pull into the parking lot from my office, and it hits Albany. Like I just missed it. I thought my car was going to get flipped over by the wind. It was so strong. There would be gusts of wind that it went. The car lurched this way, and I went, oh, my, this is interesting. And there was, like, brief second where it stopped, and I ran into the office. But storms, there's so much power going on. They can be so frightening. And Ethan, the Ezrahite, writes Psalm 89, and he uses these same words about righteousness and justice are the foundation of righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And we learn about him in 1 Kings 4:31. It's talking about Solomon's wisdom excelling all others, all the men of the East, all the wisdom of Israel, even more than Ethan the Ezrahite. He's even smarter than him. So this is a smart dude. And he starts off his psalm singing, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord. And he spends the first 37 verses of Psalm 89 singing of the steadfast love of the Lord. And then even an accusation against God. How long? You've renounced the covenant. Where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Ethan the Ezrahite, if Solomon's one in the pantheon of wisdom, Ethan's 1A or something like that, you know, 1AA, whatever, he's up there, super wise, but he can't see the righteousness and the justice and God's plan and God's love in his nation's situation. Does that sound familiar at all? I didn't even think about bringing that up, but here we are. God's righteousness and his love is being applied. His righteousness and justice, the foundation of his throne, is being applied to our nation. And his faithfulness is being applied to our nation. And it's to bring people to himself. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. I'm not saying don't try to make good things. I'm not saying don't vote. Vote. Absolutely. I'm saying when you look at the big picture, when you look on the throne with righteousness and justice is our God. And that's where we need to look. Not at everything else. Not in hatred, not in enmity, not in anxiety. He is bringing about the things that he wants to bring about. And he was bringing about in all of Ethan's complaint. He was bringing about his will, and he was continually loving his covenant people. Who God is often disappears from our minds in difficulty, right? Who he is often disappears from our minds in difficulty. I can't see him. Whatever is going on, whatever it is that I long for so much, he's obscured by those things, by the storm, right? And we have to fight to conform our thoughts to his character, to remember his attributes. I've been so blessed by our study of the Psalms because we get to see this fuller picture of who God is and who man is, right? Over and over and over again, we have man popping up and we have God's character popping up. We have him staying the same and we have us flailing around. Oh my gosh, what's happening now, right? We want vengeance, healing, relief, salvation, wrath towards others, pity on us, more, less, life, death, for God to forget, for us to forget, to never have been born. All these things, all the ways that we vacillate and oscillate and whatever relate, and God's steadfastness. Ethan started off singing about the steadfastness of God's love. And that's where we need to stay. That is the place that we need to stay. God, the Psalms give us such an intimate display of our vacillation and God's steadfastness. And the Psalms, they give a cure too. A way for our minds to come back. And so often, what is it? Praise, rejoice, shout to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise. When I was thinking about the presence of God in the storm, I knew there were a bunch of scriptures, and I went through them, and there's more than that even. And I wanted to find them quickly, right? So when we want to find something quickly, what do we do? What do you say, Google? Right. So I guess I could have even done it more quickly and said, Siri, give me scriptures on God being in the storm. And she would have done that. She would have given me the same thing Google did. Everything that came up was about God's comfort in the storm. I'm like, this is not what I'm looking for. So I, next page of results, next page of results, next page of results. And they're all God's comfort in the storm, God's comfort in the storm, God's comfort in the storm. And it's not a bad thing to have God's comfort in the storm. I'm certainly not wishing that you don't get that and that I don't get that. But it's not what I was looking for. And there's a danger in that, right? Because sometimes all I want is comfort. Sometimes all I want is comfort. I think all Ethan wanted was a change of the nation's fortunes. He wanted comfort. And when I realize that God is in the storm, and if I could go so far to say that the storm has his purpose in mind, God has his purpose in mind for those storms. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were created through him and for him. Even the storms in your life, God is using to draw you to him, to increase your faith, to bring you joy, to bring you more than just comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He's not withholding that from you, but he is in the storm. I can have comfort in the storm, not just in the absence of it. Because that's what we're asking for a lot, right? How about a day with no storm, God? How about we just get through the next 10 minutes with no storm sometimes? But when we realize he's there, he is present in it, and it is working his purpose in our lives, we have great hope. And the hope is more than just the end of the storm. It's hope in the one that's allowing it. It's hope in the one that has purpose. Righteousness, and all the people see his glory. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. So we can see it. We can see his righteousness, but we have to choose to declare it. It's all around us in his creation. It's even in the storm, right? All around us. I was looking at pictures of space, right? Because it says the heavens declare his righteousness. Go find some pictures from the Hubble telescope and all these other ones. It's amazing how they declare his righteousness. We have to choose to join in declaring it ourselves. Verses 24 through 25, Elihu says this to Job. Remember to magnify his, God's work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looks on it from afar. So we have these glances, you know, we see, well, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. He says, remember to magnify it. Remember to make it greater. Remember to show it to others. Come here, let me tell you about this. Let me show you this about God. As we choose to declare these things, as we choose to magnify it, not just look at it from afar. And he says, these things of which men have sung, right? You don't even have to make up your own song. There's plenty of songs about it already. There's words that express his greatness and his goodness, his righteousness and his truth. And they're all over the place. And we can declare these things, and we can sing these things, and we can magnify his work. This is a cure, a way for our minds to come back to seeing God more clearly. Praise and rejoicing. If you weren't here last week, go back and listen to what Rick shared about praise. If you don't do that, go down to verse 12 right now. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance. I'm not commanding it. Rick's not commanding it. God is commanding it, but he's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you sing. None of us. We have to choose to declare. So does it have to be in singing? Ooh, hard to tell, because we got things that tell us to sing, but we got things that tell us to make music on a harp, which I can't do. So we can all shout. Most of us can. We can all make a joyful noise. Don't be afraid. This is really between you and God, right? That you, in the midst of a crowd or by yourself, that this communication is going on, and that your mind is being reset by offering him praise instead of being distracted by storms. Verse 7, let all be put to shame who serve carved images. So we'll continue to use this, the idea of a storm, to elucidate this, to make this point clear. When the storm comes, what do the idol worshipers do? Pray to their idols. Something to get rid, something to the idol to make the storm stop. Some sacrifice, some incantation, some promise. Running to the idol, begging for protection from the storm. And in reality, if God's in the storm, all they're doing is running from him. All they're doing is avoiding him. All it results in is shame. If God is truly God, we have to acknowledge that he is allowing our difficulties, that he is allowing our storms. There's no way around it. There's no, oh, well, no, that's just, you know, that's not really God. If God is God, he's allowing it. And he's doing it for your good. And I don't know why every time. I've been through a few myself. I can commiserate with you. I can point you to him. We can pray and we can praise together. And we can get our minds back on track. Don't run to other things to get away from the storm. That's a tack we've all taken. You know, from the worst addict running back to heroin to somebody running to gossip because it makes them feel some temporary relief. You know, we can take the very worst of things and the very best, the least of the worst sins, right? If we try to call them that. But there are ways that we run away and do other things. Verse 8, Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. And so ultimately, what are we talking about here? His judgments, his decisions, whether we deem them favorable or unfavorable. We're to rejoice because of them. His judgments can be difficult, but God says, rejoice and be glad in them. Why? Verse 9, for you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. God's judgments are right and true. At the end of, it's not at the end of Revelation, I don't know exactly where it is, but there's a point at which it is said, as these plagues and difficulties are coming on the earth in Revelation, God, all your judgments are true and right. Every single one of them, even the great. And if all of his judgments are true and right then, all of his judgments are true and right now, because all means all. And they give us a chance to rejoice at something. Verse 10 is good direction for us. Hate evil. Hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He promises deliverance, and we who have faith in Christ have already been delivered from death to life. Totally, absolutely delivered from death to life. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. We have been delivered, brothers and sisters. Verse 11, I think, is an amazing promise. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. So there's a law of reaping and sowing, right? You will reap what you sow. Do not be confused, brothers and sisters. That's our sowing. That's our reaping. This sowing is happening by someone else on our behalf. Light is sown for us by our great and wonderful and amazing God. Gladness sown for us. So the storm has taken us this far. We might as well stick with it, right? This is the rain, the waters, the light and gladness that God, this is what rains and waters, the light and gladness that God has sown for us. These storms rain, they the harvest of light and gladness for us. The light and gladness isn't just for later. A fuller harvest is in store for all those whose names are written in the book of life. But can you imagine what that harvest looks like? The harvest of light and gladness. Have you experienced some of the harvest of light and gladness in your life? Has God brought that to you from your relationship with him? It's there. And sometimes it takes a long time to experience it. But he is sowing it, and we are reaping it, and it will come about in a fuller way at the end. But it is there now as well. And every one of you that has experienced it knows what I'm talking about. And if you haven't experienced it, let's talk. Let's talk. Because it is there for us, even now, sown by the one whose crops will not be ruined. Sown by the one that controls drought. Sown by the one that causes the increase. Sown by the one that does immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, and overcomes our own sowing and reaping, and has put the ultimate punishment for that away from all of us. So you could tell me, I'm not righteous. I'm not upright in heart. God's not sowing anything for me, because I don't feel that way. I don't feel righteous. I don't feel upright in heart. So I'm not so sure he's sowing that for me. I'll tell you, Jesus has made you so. If you have faith in him, he has made you so. And there's no doubt in my mind about that at all. At all. And if you're not his and you want to be, he'll add you right now. He's been sowing for you already. If I can be so bold to suggest that, he has been sowing for you already, and his desire is that you take hold of that for which he's sown for you. So our response, verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. What an amazing thing that we get to do. So to Psalm 98. I think this is an amazing psalm. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, lest your stomach be growling for soup day, lest you be conscious of the time. And Christine took all my time with the importance of the library. So let's read Psalm 98. We finished Psalm 97. What are we told? Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his name. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He's remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Psalm 98 has exactly zero requests of God in it. No one is asking God for anything in Psalm 98. No evil is mentioned, no idols, no proud, no slipping, no soul-crushing situations, no requests for salvation or vengeance. Only acknowledgement of what God has done and that it is praiseworthy. There's no specific victory that this burst of exaltation is tied to. And future judgment is pointed out in verse 9. It's almost as though they are praising God for a future victory that has already happened. They are praising God for a future victory that has already happened. And for all of you that have faith in Jesus Christ, that victory has already happened, and it deserves praise. I'm not trying to tell you to not ask God for things. I am telling you what it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Think about this psalm. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. He's made known his salvation. He's remembered mercy and faithfulness. All the ends. So that you can put Philippians 4, 6, and 7 into practice. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, because of everything he has already done, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. There's a part that we need to grow in. Singing, shouting joyfully, breaking forth into song for the entirety of what's already been done. We've been given this in Christ. It's sealed in him. His covenant people, Israel, will see it in the future. No, Ethan, he has not renounced his covenant. He has not renounced his covenant. So, let's help sing the new song. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. I'm not about to teach you a new song. I'm not going to start singing. I don't want to be confusing. I'm being figurative here. Let me ask it this way. The same thing that turns on that turntable in your head, once in a while it gets to the end and goes ka-chick, 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 for those of us who know turntables. Do you want to keep singing that same song? Whatever the block is for you, and we all have blocks because we keep getting the new ones, right? God deals with one in our lives. And then, oh man, I thought I was through that, and now I got this. Now he wants to deal with this. Now he wants to deal with this. He just keeps wanting to form Christ in me. And so we keep seeding that ground to him. So there's some old song in your mind right now that it's time to go. It's time to go. And it's time to sing a new song. For he's done marvelous things. And he will help you get in front of that thing and start to deal with it. Because when you fall on him, he will break the things that you cannot break. He will obliterate the mountains. He will cause them to be moved and fall into the sea. Fall on him. Sing the new song. I made an invitation to those that don't know him. You ready to sing a new song? Let's stand and pray together. If you don't know Jesus this morning and you want the things that we've talked about to be true of you, come on down and we'll pray with you. Today's a great day to start singing a new song. Lord, we thank you that you have done marvelous things. We thank you that it's your right hand and your holy arm that have brought about the victory. It's not according to our strength. It's not according to our goodness. It's not according to how well we keep the rules. It's not according to what's going on in our lives. God, for everyone here that is in deep hurt because of a storm in their lives, I pray that they would see you in it. Even see you, Jesus, walking across the water to them. Even hearing in the midst of that storm, you saying, be still. They give their lives to you to know that peace which passes understanding. That each of us, God, whatever old song is going through our minds now, we change it. Thank you, Lord, so much for the things you have done. Bless your holy name. Amen. 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 Please stay for a soup. You got something?